Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 32 minutes after the hour. Welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by Chevron, here from the Aloe Fiber Studios. And joining me now, and I believe joining me in these studios tomorrow, is going to be the man himself, Mike Sanford. Great to have you on the program, Mike. Of course, excellent career, excellent stops throughout, everywhere in college football. Mike, that man, I always appreciate getting you on the program.
Hey, Brady, it's great to be on, man. It's a lot of this thing's wrapping up, man, and it's a lot of drama, a lot of uncertainty with the CFP rankings. Still can't believe the Washington Huskies are getting no respect put on their name and still outside of the top four. Luckily, hopefully, they'll have the opportunity to take care of that with a couple big wins here in the next few weeks.
Oh, yeah, man. It's heating up for sure. The college football ranking, playoff rankings, what's going to happen next year. The Pac-2, I'm curious to get your thoughts on that and what they're going to be doing. But first, I got to ask you, Mike, and feel free to just no comment me. Any calls from... You know, Boise State, any phone calls, anything like any texts or anything, emails?
A lot of texts from old teammates and old neighbors in Boise, but that's about it. So,
really?
Yeah, you know, I was up in Boise this past weekend. It's actually my first game that I'd been to as a non-coach, non-player. You know, and so 5 years as a player and then one as the offensive coordinator in 2014. And you know, I was able to raise the blue chaos flag and get the decibel level at Albertson Stadium above 100. I think a couple people accused me of only raising it to half staff. I just did what I was instructed to do. But we had a whole heck of a lot of fun. And, you know, I had a chance to meet some of the new faces around the program, around the athletic department. But really, I was absolutely just as shocked as everybody else after a 28-point victory against New Mexico to see my former teammate in the same class as I came into Boise State with, Andy Avalos, being dismissed. So I was in Boise that morning, and, you know, I got a text from a member of the media in Boise, BJ Rains, who I do a show every Monday night with called Ball Talk. It's available on streaming platforms, and I was just as shocked as he was. He had no insider information. The first guy that got it was Pete Dammel, that son of a gun. So it was shocking to all of us. And I think Boise State's going to get red hot here in these last 2 weeks of the season.
It's just you're right, though. It is an interesting time. You come off of a win. I mean, we get the news before that about, you know, they're really solid wide receiver going to enter the transfer portal. And then you start, you know, drama just kind of keeps swirling around the Broncos. But what does this mean to you in your mind, Mike, when you hear this? Is this, I mean, Andy Avalos, I liked him. And, you know, I thought, you know, maybe it's going to take so up and down maybe a few years here. But I kind of thought that maybe he would get another year. I know the pressure was there for sure, but is this Boise State saying, hey, we demand flat-out freaking excellence, and anything less, slightly less than that is unacceptable?
Yeah, since I was recruited to Boise State in 1999, Dirk Cutter's second year, and I ended up starting there in 2000 as a student-athlete, not starting as a quarterback. I never did that. I was a backup all 5 years. But, you know, this is a program that has had zero losing seasons in a quarter century. And so you're sitting at 5-5 right now. You know, Boise State's the type of program. When I went back to coach there in 2014, you know, a sub-10 win season is cause for the sky to be falling. So 5-5 at Boise State, completely unacceptable. I think Andy Avalos would agree with that. You know, I think everybody across the Boise State fan base and all the former players felt the same way. But I think it's more because Jeremiah Dickey, the athletic director there at Boise State, who's in really his third year, was basically involved in the hiring of Avalos at the very tail end. Only the last, I think, 3-5 days that Jeremiah Dickey had been on the job before he was able to select a head coach. So I think Jeremiah Dickey did some digging, and I don't know what he found, to be real candid, but I think there were some things from a program health standpoint that he felt like needed to be addressed ASAP, and he did that. I think this fan base, the donors, they trust Jeremiah Dickey. And so I think this is a very dangerous team these last 2 weeks of the season. And the crazy thing about it, even at 5-5, they're still very much in the Mountain West
right.
championship hunt. UNLV and Air Force play each other this week, and that's going to be a, you know, I mean, obviously there's going to be some cannibalization of the top of the Mountain West Conference. Air Force has been on the schneid for a few weeks, and I don't know what's going on, you know, down in the Springs. You know, I think that Boise State goes and plays at Utah State, a very dangerous team in a very dangerous environment. But Spencer Danielson, the new interim head coach, who was the defensive coordinator, he's got the personality, I think, to ignite this team. And I think they blow out Utah State, and then they have a Friday night set with Air Force on the blue. And I think they'll blow out Air Force because Air Force isn't the same team away from that amazing military base down in Colorado Springs. When they play on the road, they're a different team.
Yeah, and, you know, that Hawaii game, I mean, it had me second-guessing life, Mike, to be real honest with you. I was like, what is this world? What is football now? I don't understand it anymore. Last question on the Boise State thing, with the Eric McAllister thing. How much do you think, when you're talking about digging and maybe something going on, I don't know, how much of that would you look at and say, players are wanting to leave now, you got a star player, a really good football player is going to leave the program. How much of that kind of thing do you think impacted the decision?
I think it was part of it, but I think there's a lot more to it that I think even the fans and former players like myself don't even know. You know, I think that, you know, those are things that an athletic director like Jeremiah Dickey, who's a boots on the ground athletic director, he's a servant leader, he's around. So he has eyes and ears at all times around that program. So I think it was a collection of data. I think the Eric McAllister piece was part of that data that he collected. The crazy thing about Eric McAllister entering the portal is the day before he entered the portal, he was targeted 19 times against Fresno State. So it wasn't a playing time issue. It wasn't a utilization in the offense issue. It was something deeper than that. And I think that's part of the equation. The other thing that was really strange is a longtime staffer and administrator in the football department that dates back to Chris Peterson's time as a head coach, Lou Major, was terminated on Friday, the day before the New Mexico game. And I was a head scratcher too. The only thing I can say that, you know, from what I've heard is that Lou Major is back in the office employed the day after Andy Avalos was fired. So there's some stuff going down. There was obviously some drama, and ultimately Jeremiah Dickey made the decision that he felt was best for the program. And onward the Broncos go. So it'll be interesting to follow for the next few weeks and months as they narrow down a coach.
Mike Sanford joining us. And Mike, I want to ask you about our poll question today. We're talking Wyoming since we're talking Mountain West. Craig Bull's got another year on his contract, but Cowboys fans, I believe, what I've been seeing, are kind of over it. They're kind of done because, you know, you're talking about excellence with Boise State. Wyoming's like, hey, bowl games are neat, but every year we get 75% of the way through the season and we're like, hey, we're in the mix for a conference championship. And then they drop games that they're not supposed to drop. And then obviously we see stuff like what happened with the UNLV game. What do you think from kind of the outside looking in, or at least just looking at this conference, do you think Wyoming should stay with Craig Bull another year? Do you think he will? What are your thoughts there?
Wow, what a difference a month makes.
I know, yeah.
Yep. You know, hey, let's just be honest. Who around college football right now really likes their head coach or really likes their offensive coordinator? Let's just call a spade a spade,
yeah.
Man. I've been in those shoes on the opposite side. I know it. It's a hard industry. It's cutthroat. I think Craig Bull, you know, in terms of the longevity of what he's been able to do, I think he's been the best coach at Wyoming. I would put him above Joe Glenn, and I played against Joe Glenn. You know, when we were at Boise State, you know, that was an easy win for us when we played Wyoming in the Joe Glenn era. You know, this has been a challenging game for Boise State over the last 7 years with Craig Bull at the helm. You know, I think he does a fantastic job. Cowboy tough's a real thing. You know, I think that this season there were a few really uneven performances. I'll be honest, when I watched Boise State, who is really fledgling as a program, absolutely drubbed this Wyoming team, I was shocked. I think, you know, they're built to run the football. They're built to stop the run. And, you know, if a team can light it up through the air, You know, they're not built for that comeback, and I know that. That's how P.J. Fleck built Minnesota. And there were some games where, you know, I was calling plays in that philosophy. And, I, you know, that's not necessarily my DNA. That's not what I come from. But when you work for a head coach that has a very solid vision for where to go, those games become challenging when a team starts moving it at ease through the air. And I think that's what ultimately has led to some of these head-scratching losses. I think Craig Bohl's the man for that job. I really do. I think it's a really challenging job. I mean, how many head coaches over the course of Wyoming football's history in Division 1A football have left with a winning record? And I think that'd be really interesting to look back at.
Yeah, and I think, you know, right now Craig Bohl is kind of like Mr. 500. But, man, coming from a CSU guy, I talk a lot of CSU, Mike. I would love to be able to get into a bowl game every single year. Just go ahead and pin that in. And then in early November, you're talking about me being in a conference championship game. Wouldn't that be something? I would love that. And that's coming from a guy that really dives in on the Colorado State side of things.
I think that CSU is primed for that. I believe, you know, there's two openings in the Mountain West Conference, and I think those are the two of the top three Mountain West Conference head coaching jobs. I think the third one, and really in no particular order, you know, is CSU. You look at the funding, you look at the location, you look at the fan support, the following. I mean, I went to one CSU game at Canvas Stadium. Obviously, it was the Boise State game. Outside of CSU fans who, by the way, stay till the end of the game, please.
Oh, yeah.
Because you missed one of the most ridiculous endings in the history of college football. I stayed. Because I'm a Bronco. That's what we do. And unfortunately, I stayed. But if you're a Ram, you should have stayed for the entirety of that 60-minute contest, because that was absolute bananas. And history was made, but history was missed by 90% of that fan base. And I get it. You know, it was a late-night game, and everybody was pretty lubed up pretty good from the tailgating, which, by the way, is by far the best in the Mountain West. CSU's got it cooking, man. I think Jay Norvell's building this thing the right way. You know, I think he's wanting to establish an identity as a physical team, because he knows that these types of games late in November have to be won on the ground. But ultimately, you know, between Matt Mummy, you know, Jay Norvell, you know, and Braden Fowler Nicolosi and you know, and Torrey Horton, I mean, this is a team that when they decide to air it out, they're friggin' dangerous. And that's what I've seen when they decide to air it out. And you know, I really like what Jay Norvell's doing at CSU. I think that they're primed to be one of the top, you know, 3-4 teams in the Mountain West Conference next season going into it. And it wouldn't surprise me to see them in the Mountain West Championship next season.
Mike Sanford joining us. Just a great career, a great resume with so many different teams you were with, an assistant with, a coordinator with, Stanford, and of course Boise State, Notre Dame, Utah State, Minnesota, Colorado. So the experience is there. You've seen the highs and the lows. You've seen conference realignment. You've seen crazy things. Yesterday we get the news about this ruling with Oregon State and Washington State and what it all means. It's mainly about revenue right now, but look at the future with me, Mike. What happens here? Does the Pac-2 do they form a new Pac-12? Does Oregon State, Washington State look at the Mountain West? What's going to happen with these two teams? What's going to happen with maybe those two conferences?
Well, first off, it's not the Pac-2; it's the Tupac. I mean, there's no question about that.
Oh, yes, that's great. Great.
It is the Tupac currently. What I see is I see that Washington State and Oregon State winning this legal battle. I think they're primed to be very selective about what they do. And if I'm Washington State and Oregon State, I pick the best six from the Mountain West.
Me too.
And I use the revenue, and I make it the old Pac-8. How beautiful does that sound?
It
My dad
awesome.
Played in the Pac-8 back at USC in the early 1970s. My dad played for John McKay in the Pac-8 conference. And it'd be so awesome to get that name back, and then also just have a larger share of the revenue. Now, without question, San Diego State, Boise State, Air Force, Colorado State, and then you have obviously Washington State and Oregon State. I think you leave New Mexico out of it. I think you leave Hawaii out of it. You know, I think, you know, there's a few. Fresno State's got to come. You know, LA, you know, you still have a piece of the LA market. And then San Jose State's a question mark. So I don't know if my numbers were right there. I think it was in the ballpark. But some of those other three, I think, are question marks. I think you got to solidify the Denver, you know, Fort Collins, Colorado Springs market in terms of TV revenue. And also the tradition-rich programs that are CSU, Air Force, You know, and then Boise State in Idaho, one of the fastest growing cities in America and one of the proudest Group of Five traditions in all of college football. You make it a Pac-8 and you make the slice of the pie even greater. And I'll tell you this, with my new career path, I would love to be a studio analyst for the Pac-8 conference and whatever network they assemble. Hopefully it's a whole heck of a lot better of a network than the Pac-12 network, because that was an absolute dumpster fire.
Yeah, then that would be the thing. Like, what would the TV deal look like? You can't be, I know however many years ago, that was the all the rage was, we're going to have our own network. We'll sign a 497-year deal with ESPN. We don't care about upping contracts and all that stuff because we're putting all of our stock into the Pac-12 network, and it just didn't work out. Number one, you got to make it easy. You got to make it easy for people to watch your games, because I like Pac-12 football. But if I got to, I don't have the Pac-12 network, Mike. So I will just go, darn it, I guess I don't get to watch that game. I will find something else that's available. It's got to be easy for people to watch your games.
I agree with that. You know, and I think that, you know, I think that what's going to happen is that the creativity of what the MLS did, Major League Soccer, and their deal with Apple TV, I thought it was brilliant. You know, and ultimately, like, having that tie with Apple, Apple's got pretty deep pockets, if you haven't noticed. And so if you set it up for, like, even an MLS to be able to have somebody at the table in the form of Apple to say, hey, by the way, Lionel Messi, come on over. Mm. Hey, we got some money for you. I think the same thing's going to hold true if they can sign a deal with an Apple, sign a deal with a Netflix, and whatever, you know, these streaming platforms are constantly evolving, is sign a deal that's a little bit outside the box, that people scratch their heads at first. But then when all of a sudden these teams that have left for the Big 12 conference, the Big 10 conference, and the ACC, those teams are going to get fatigued fast. All the travel, having no regional rivalries, empty stadiums on the West Coast because Rutgers is coming to town or West Virginia is coming to town. You know, UCLA fans don't really care too much about Rutgers. They barely cared much about Oregon coming to their stadium. So I think that there's going to be a lot of fatigue with regards to those teams. And then all of a sudden you have a heavy hitter, a big player in the media space that says, hey, you can come back home. And guess what? We got the pockets to make it make sense. I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to happen within the next 5 years. And I think the fatigue is going to be real for some of these true Western Seaboard teams that are going to be traveling to the Eastern Seaboard, and not just football, but in all sports. And I think it's going to come back together. But Washington State and Oregon State, they're in a really good position right now because they have the ability to be creative and think outside the box and be selective as they put this thing back together.
Oh, man, that's going to be interesting. Mike, I believe if schedule allows, you're going to be perhaps joining me in studio tomorrow because I want to get into this more with you. We got to talk prime time. We got to talk Buffs. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. But, Mike, you're awesome. Already getting amazing texts about what you do. So anytime I get you on the show, I absolutely appreciate it.
Hey, really appreciate it, Brady. And, man, I'll tell you this. We chose to live in Northern Colorado. We live in Weld County. I really think that this is the absolute best part of the state and one of the best places in the United States. It's really fun to be able to on the airwaves in my home. So it's a tremendous honor, and I look forward to continuing to talk with you on the air. I look forward to tomorrow.
I love it, man. All right, we'll talk to you soon, my friend. Be good.
All right. Hey, appreciate you, Brady.
Mike Sanford. Great guy. I could talk to that guy forever. He's going to be sitting in studio with me for the entire show. Angel's taking off. Sanford's going to come in, sit in the studio here. We've been trying to do this forever. We just couldn't get the pieces to line up, but we made it happen for tomorrow. 12:51 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show, powered by Chevron, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKN.
Mr. 700 Plus Wins is on KFKA. Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.